Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 open lines, 248-539-9797. Let's go to Matt in Westland here on 97.1. Hello, Matt.
Hi, guys.
What's up?
My subject is about Kenley Jansen. Mm-hmm. Now, believe me, I am a 100% Detroit Tiger fan. I listen or watch every game, except for a couple in May when I just felt it was going to affect my health if I continued to listen to that in May. But my thing about Jansen, and it's not because of what happened yesterday only, I had this attitude about him in May when he gave up those three home runs in a very short time. It seems to me if they're going to be committed to using him, that wouldn't it be better to use him maybe in the seventh inning, you know, at least give him a chance to come back, you know, as far as him being
you're planning, up
the home run in the ninth inning.
You're planning on him blowing the lead, so you may as well give yourself a few at-bats after he does so.
Exactly.
I got to tell you, I don't know what to do with the guy because it, you know, yesterday was home runs. Usually I'm used to him just being wild and not being able to find the strike zone.
Right.
And badly missing his spots.
If I may, there's another part of this. It seems like there's two things about him, and I'm going back to Mariano Rivera. I had always heard that you had a better chance against him being a right-handed batter because the cutter breaks so sharply at the end into a left-hander. And he's given up home runs to left-handers. And another thing is that he is very, very poor about holding people on base. And if he doesn't give up the home run and he walks somebody, as you alluded to about the control, he's got a guy on first base that is almost automatically going to steal second base. Now you got a runner on second base. I don't know what to do with him.
I will say this, okay? And we're getting a lot of feedback on Kenley Jansen. Guys, this season has convinced me that we need to throw a nice haul of minor leaguers to the Padres for Mason Miller at the winter meetings. No way around it.
Well, they don't have to do that, although I mean, I'd certainly consider it. San Diego has another pitcher who's a free agent at the end of the year, Adrian Morjon. And he is pitched awfully well the last three seasons, an ERA right around 2.5 over the last 3 years. He's got a high strikeout rate, or a good strikeout rate anyway, and then a really good whip over that time as well. He's been a pretty good pitcher. He's only 27 years old. Getting ready to start the prime years of his career. He's going to get the money cannon contract. He's the top reliever on the market, in the free agent market in the offseason. So go get him. Go get him. As far as Kenley Jansen is concerned, you don't have to close him anymore. No more closes. That's it. You've lost your privileges. And time for let's throw Drew Summers in the role. Let somebody else have at it. Tyler Holton, but not Kenley Jansen. Can't keep doing that. It's too high of a failed percentage of him when he steps out into the field.
So a couple things. One is Adrian Morjon has closed for the Padres on occasion, so it's a role that he has taken on. Secondly, as we sit here and we talk about their game and a half out, this has been a very discouraging week. Swept by the White Sox, lose a series to Pittsburgh, but they're still a game and a half out of the postseason. It's still way ahead of where I expected him to be 3 weeks after trading Tarek Skubal and Casey Mize. So it's a little bit of house money, and they're doing it with the next gen of Tiger players. Scott, I can't help. I'm going to hang on to this Hail Mary because if I'm going to build a case for them making the playoffs, it's built around Jack Flaherty and River Ryan. Jack Flaherty returning and River Ryan debuting for the Tigers. And I'm probably moving Job to the closer role. Now, I like Job as a starter. And that's clearly what he is going to be in Detroit. But if I'm going to try to throw a Hail Mary, Montero goes to the bullpen as a setup guy and Job closes. Flaherty and River Ryan
go into the rotation.
Go into the rotation. Do I think that they will do a better job than Montero and Job? Not particularly. But I do think that's the Hail Mary to fix the bullpen. With two good arms, move to the bullpen and see if River Ryan and Flaherty can carry them home to a playoff spot. And it's a Hail Mary. But if I'm going to build a case for the Tigers to make the playoffs, that's how I'm building the case. Everything else feels like wishful thinking to me.
Well,
that feels like a tangible way that this team can solve its bullpen issues. And even then, I don't know. I don't know that Job can close. It seems to me like he's got the stuff where he'd be capable of. And Montero feels like he can do anything you ask him to do. So I want Montero as an eighth inning guy or seventh inning guy, and Job, depending on the matchups, Job on the back end of the bullpen, and roll the dice with River Ryan and Jack Flaherty going into the rotation.
Like, I like thinking outside the box, and I'm not sure how outside the box it is, because you're expecting to get both of these guys, well, at least you're expecting to get Flaherty back. There were some update on him earlier this week. It sounds like he's trending in the right direction, where he's going to start the bullpens and then live sessions as well. So that should go well for him. Maybe he comes back in the next couple weeks. And I don't know where his arm is, his arm strength is. I'm going to have to build him back up to get to starter range. Or is it just like, hey, Jack, we're going to start you in the pen because we're building you up, but we need to have you. And we need somebody that's going to be reliable on the pen that can, you know, strike some guys out. And Flaherty has some swing and miss. As far as River Ryan or Jackson Job is concerned, I would assume that they're going to keep Job where he's at. And if anything, it'll be River Ryan that would go to the bullpen. But River Ryan has to make some rehab starts before he's even considered for it, because he hasn't pitched in the minors in a while. He's had this hamstring issue that he's healing up from, and sounds like he should be ready to go real soon. But he's another guy. He's got great lively arm, right? Throws high 90s. Can he do that role? Can he pitch in that role? But he doesn't have a ton of MLB experience. So I would be really reluctant to just say you're going to be the closer or you're going to be in the rotation. I think with River Ryan, it's if he's healthy enough to pitch and shows in his rehab starts that he's ready to go, then maybe he comes out of the bullpen. But some kind of a combination, I think, is what we're all looking for. We need a solution, because right now the solution is not Kenley Jansen pitching in the ninth inning to try to close out a game.
Well, let me put it to you like this. I think what they're currently doing isn't going to get them to the postseason. And so I am willing to shake things up, try something a little extreme. It's filled with question marks. Okay? I mean, River Ryan, he might not get out of the first inning. I mean, we don't know what we're going to get from him. And Flaherty has been of a bit of a flip of the coin this year. But I think Job has closer stuff. I think he has starter stuff. I think he could close for him as well. And I think Montero can do, it can be more than serviceable at anything you ask him to do. And I think he's already proven that. So it's a Hail Mary, but I'm trying to build a case for this team to make the playoffs. That's what I would do. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I think what they're currently doing also will not work. And then get back to what you're supposed to do next year and fix it in the offseason. But moving forward, that's what I would do. And there's two things I want to hear from the listeners on this. One is, yes, swept by the White Sox, lose a series to Pittsburgh. Can you still build a case for this team making the playoffs? And if so, what are you building it around? But we're not, you know what that isn't? That isn't, hey, I think if they get hot and they win 13 of the next 14. Well, obviously. But why do you think they could do that? Why do you think, what is your reasoning to think that this team could make the playoffs? That's one. Two is, if you can't do it, if you can't build a case for them to make the playoffs, and at what point did you give up? What was your moment? Was it the trade deadline? Was it the White Sox series? When did you pull the plug? Couple things there for Tiger fans we'd love to hear from you on. Either build the case or tell us when you gave up. 248-539-9797. Gator, want to get your case? Or, and I know you haven't given up. So 248-539-9797. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Nolan in Rochester, you're next on 97.1. Hello, Nolan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Sure. I wanted to make a point on the Tigers real quick. So ever since, I think every show made the point that ever since they traded Skubal and Mize, the team's just been more maybe relaxing to watch or more enjoyable to watch now that you know that you're not necessarily going for it, but you still have a shot, which I'm fully on board. If you can make the playoffs, make the playoffs. You know how bad the American League is, so on and so forth. But the one thing that will bother me is if this team continues to do it, is put Jansen out there in the ninth and make some of the bullpen decisions that they have made. Obviously, you know, we don't know how the season's going to end, and I'm fully on board with them trying to make a push to the playoffs. But if you're going to make a push, you can't keep relying on the product of Jansen, given where he's been. I really like Wagestucker, however you say. He gave up a run yesterday that hurt him a little bit, but I'm fully on board with them, you know, hopefully competing, but you can't rely on them in the playoffs, and who knows what River Ryan and Flaherty are going to produce when they come back from injury, you know, whenever that may be. But yeah, as you know, I'm happy that they got rid of Skubal and Mize, but if you're going to get rid of them and still compete, you got to put out your best product, and that's just not it with Jansen.
I mean, I can't really argue. The problem is, I'm not sure what you're supposed to do. Like, who else? What are the options? You want Wagespeck to close?
I wouldn't necessarily say him close, but if I had to pick over putting Jansen out there, I know Speck pitched before Jansen, but I would have probably put Holton out there before Speck and then close a Speck or vice versa. Just because it's such a tight game like that, and one that, you know, it's a two-run game. Maybe it was a one-run game at that point. It was a one-run game at that point going into the ninth. But I just don't rely on Jansen that much, especially with such a tight game. Maybe if it was a two-run lead or a three-run lead, things would have been a little bit different. But with the options, even Summers, I mean, I would have, you know, played my cards a little bit differently and put Summers out there, just switched around the pitchers that you had a little bit.
I think Summers is the key. And Summers is the guy I would have close.
He's so good his last outing.
He's the guy I would have close. He's got 38 strikeouts and 24 innings pitched. Okay, so he's that guy. He's swing and miss guy. He's left-handed, but his splits are actually better against righties than they are lefties. Righties are only hitting 200 against him. Lefties are hitting 273 against him. But he has been so good over his last 15 innings pitched, and because you need, when you get to that ninth inning, you need the high strikeout guy. He's the best ratio on the team. Give him the opportunity. I think right now the Tigers have like four arms that you feel okay about. Wagespeck, Holton, certainly Summers, and then the other one's Ty Madden, who's pitched awfully well this year. Maybe Ty Madden's one of these hidden gem guys that, maybe, you know what, let's stop thinking of him as long relief or a spot start. Now, you know what, maybe you need to find out if he's a guy who's a setup guy or if he's a closer material, because he's got strikeout stuff too. But that's only four pitchers that you feel pretty good about. And then you get into the realm of, more often than not, I feel good about Finnegan, but I don't feel good about him. It's just more often than not, I do. And then everybody else is just yikes.
Noah in Shelby, you're next. Hi, Noah.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Can you take us off speaker? It's pretty loud.
Yep, I switched it. Sorry, guys.
Thank you.
I transferred as soon as I got on phone with you guys.
Of course.
I'll get right into it. So, there were some things that I found last night just in regards to this bullpen, some videos that came out statistically that were pretty interesting that I found. And I just want to go over two of them with you. Number one, I think that this bullpen is not going to get any better for the rest of the season. I think this is kind of where it's at. I've been having that hope like, hey, maybe something's going to click. Somebody's going to get more consistent. It just hasn't happened. And so the thing that I've been listening and hearing about is that there's a mix of this new creation of a middle reliever slash closer is kind of how I took it as. And it's someone who's protecting a lead of three runs or less and somebody who's coming in to pitch multiple innings. So guys like Ty Madden, guys like Tyler Holton seem to be leading the team in that. And the Tigers are actually the third usage in the league when it comes to that statistic as far as using those guys. And I think the problem is we don't have those setups and the closers beyond that to kind of help those roles fill in for the bullpen. So that's just kind of one of the statistics. And then the other one was just kind of watching the bullpen and how they've been using them. instead of using Tyler Holton for, you know, let's say the seventh. You know, they're going to throw him out with one out in the seventh, and then he's going to come back out in the eighth maybe to finish a one or two outs. I understand he likes his platoons. I understand he likes those things. But it hasn't been working as much as it should be, A. And B, I just don't think that going out there for split innings like that is doing us any good. It's more, you know, harm than good that it's been doing from statistics.
Well, no, I guess the one thing I'll say is you said, you know, they're doing this, they're expecting guys to get better and hoping that guys will get better. I'm more in your, to be fair, I'm more in your camp of they got to try something different. But Gators guy Summers has gotten better. Like he, as this season has gone, he is having his best month of the year. And this is where maybe you, in an effort to make the playoffs, let's be clear here. We're only talking about right now, everything's on the table because, you know, you're running out of time for people to quote unquote correct. They're running out of time for people to maybe, you know, show them something that they used to do, but they haven't done anymore. Maybe Wagasbeck and Summers at in the eighth and ninth inning make the most sense. Maybe Montero, maybe Joe, maybe Ty Madden. Like all of these possibilities, none of them sound like a fantastic idea to me. But at this point, they're running out of time and you got to decide, okay, Kenley Jansen's just going to do this too much.
Yeah, you need consistency. And Drew Summers has been nothing but consistent this year. He's only had four outings, four, out of his 30 appearances where he's given up an earned run. That's it. Four of them. That's consistency. And knowing that he can strike guys out, that's huge too because you can get out of trouble. Is he going to be the closer to the future? I don't know. But I think right now you have to make a change away from Kenley Jansen. You know, Kenley Jansen, have him come in the sixth inning and be the first guy out of the bullpen or have him pitch a seventh inning, but not the ninth anymore. It's just, it's too damn important for this team to close out games than to risk it with the aging closer who clearly is not the pitcher that he was even just a couple of years ago.
Can you build a case for this Tiger team to still make the playoffs? What reason would you give that the Tigers could still make the playoffs? In which case they just simply have to play better. And obviously, but what would you build the case around?
For me, it's going to be with the offense. The offense is going to have to carry the day. I think their starting pitching has been pretty strong too, but they're going to have bigger leads, I guess, and do it more often. Getting Riley Green back as soon as possible should help. Hopefully he can come back next week and help this team out. Dylan Dingler has to get back to being Dylan Dingler again. The slump is ridiculous at this point. For him, I mean, it's hard to watch him go through this because it was 2 weeks ago we were talking about him as an MVP candidate.
Oh, I know.
And now it's nothing. It's just like three or four hits since that time. It's a real struggle for him. But he'll come back. I have total confidence he's going to come back. So he and Riley Green coming back, even though Dingler's been playing through it, it's almost like getting a new Dingler if he can just figure it out again. Riley Green coming back would... Oh, boy. What did I say?
Getting a new Dingler.
Getting a new Dingler. It's like getting a new Dingler. But it would be like getting a new Dingler.
Gator, well, you just roll right out of your mouth there. Yeah.
Came kind of easily. Yes, but having those two players back to their all-star levels would be massive for this team to get back to that point. And I want the Tigers to steal more bases, and they've got more of an opportunity to do that with more speed on the base pass as they continue to promote guys from the minor leagues. That's what I want to see. That, I think, is because it's then they have to be the offense. The bullpen's awful. So I would make the switch to Summers as your closer and then lean on the offense as a reason why they still can make the playoffs.
From an unnamed texter, yesterday's loss was the final dagger. That's from Jumbo. I think Flaherty should become the late innings bullpen arm. He isn't a starter anymore. He's the perfect candidate for that late inning guy. Throw two pitches and simplify his existence in the league. That's from Jerry in Oak Park.
Well, Flaherty has a high strikeout rate, 10.6 per nine innings pitched.
Big.
He's walked a bit more than you want him to. It hasn't had his best season by far. He has not. He has not been very good this year, but it's bad games kill him, and he's had some good games. But because he's missed so much time, I wonder if he just goes straight to the bullpen anyway, rather than expecting him to come, oh, yeah, you're back. Now you can pitch five or six innings at a time. I don't know if that's feasible.
The Tigers, if they're going to make the playoffs, how do you build the case that they can do it? If you've given up, what was the final straw? It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1. Carson Anderson, Gino's on a cell and next. Hello, Gino.
Hello, you there?
Yes, we are.
So I'm going to give you an option for a relief pitching help that I don't think anybody has mentioned yet. And my thought was take one of your starters and make them a closer, like Keiter Montero and his pitching spot in the rotation. You could have pitching chaos. Hinch has already proven he can make that happen. But nobody has said, you know, put one of these guys in the closer role and see how he handles it. I think Keiter could do a really good job with that.
We literally just said. Now, we didn't say Keiter Montero.
We've talked about Jackson Joe. We've talked about River Ryan, Jack Flaherty.
Yep.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yep.
Well,
now nobody said Keiter Montero. One thing I'll say, Gino, is it feels like Keiter Montero is up to anything they give him. If they want him to start, sure. And he goes out and he's a good starter. They want him to give him a few innings out of the bullpen, long relief? Sure, he can do that. Do they want him to close? Yeah, maybe. Can you give us a few innings at third? You know, give it a shot. Keiter seems to be up to anything.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, as far as next year goes, we got Reese Olson coming back. And I don't know that he has to be a starter. But we're to the point where you're going to have to be a little more creative and find a way to keep Jansen out of there because he's done. He's completely washed up. He's done. That's my thought.
As a closer, he is. He can still give you some innings out of the bullpen, I think. But I'm not pitching him in the ninth inning. And I don't think this is – I think a lot of people have already passed on – they passed on Kenley Jansen months ago. But yesterday was the one that breaks the camel's back, right? You can't do that again. No. Please don't do that again, A.J. Hinch. You're better than that, A.J. Hinch. But, yes, they will have to get creative to find somebody else in that role. Maybe it's as simple as, okay, best strikeout guy is Drew Summers. Or maybe it's, hey, you know, the guy we trust most on this team is probably Tyler Holton. Fine, whatever it is, just not Kenley Jansen.
Jim and Monroe, you're next. Hello, Jim.
Hey, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Earlier you mentioned Dingler and his hitting, but you forgot to mention Torque and Baez. Those guys have struck out more in the last month than they have hits.
Well, Torkelson had built up his average. It's starting to go back down again over the last couple of games, and that's just Torkelson. And Javi Baez Javi's return. He has not been as good for sure. I think there is concern with that. It feels like he's doing that whole listing thing and chasing everything gets outside the zone again, like he did prior to the hip surgery. Torkelson's more worrisome to me than Baez. Because Torkelson's a guy you need to have perform. He's in the lineup every day.
To do what he does. Like, he's never going to hit for a high average, and he's going to strike out, but he's got to provide power.
Yeah, and
he's got to drive in runs.
The OPS is at 724, which is above average, but it's not good. Not for that position. You need to have production from that position. And, you know, a week ago, we're talking about him like, hey, look, he's perked up his average now. He's talking about being a hitter with power as opposed to a power hitter, and hey, it's all working, and now it's going in the opposite direction again, and it's a concern.
Yeah, it is. It's very sad. One other thing, and then I'll go. Can you give me some insight as to what's going on with Dierks and Benetti? Before, they used to have them in their little man cave all the time. Lately, they have not been on television at all, and I'm wondering if because sometimes they reminded me of teenage girls at a pajama party. So what, do you know what's going on there with them not being on TV anymore?
They are.
Didn't they do yesterday's game?
They're on TV, but they never show them in their little cave.
Well, they're
they haven't shown them in the cave for the last four games.
Why isn't the director?
They're on the road.
Yeah.
So what do you mean their little cave? What, with all the bobbleheads and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Well, they're on the road. It's not their booth.
That stuff's at home, yeah.
Oh, just at home?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was just at home. Okay, thanks.
The road
that he has knowledge of teenage pajama parties. That's my concern.
So the road booth is a little bit of, you never know what you're going to get.
Right.
They probably aren't taking their entire set, if you will, on
menagerie.
The road. There's so all the flair.
Lots of flair.
There's a lot of flair. The flair stays at home.
Flair stays at home.
Yeah. But that's the best we got. It won't be, the flair will not likely be in Kansas City with them Friday night. Interesting question. 248-539-9797. Doug, normally at my house, my wife will mow and I will do the trimming, edging, and cleaning up. I came home yesterday and to my surprise, my wife did a Wednesday mow. A Wednesday mow. I'm very rattled by this. I'm still trying to figure out how to handle this new situation. That's from Brett and Macomb. I think you praise her. And you fall in love with the Wednesday mow.
Keeping it clean.
Should he be rattled, though? Is something up here? Like when your wife or significant other does something out of the norm, is it like, oh, that's great? Or should I be
suspicious?
Yes.
Okay. I never thought that there might be a problem with the marriage. This felt to me like it was a good thing. Well, it sounds like that's what you're speculating.
Hey, man. When you get in I don't know how long they've been married, but I'm sure there's some kind of routine, right? Someone breaks routine. You don't think anything ever? Like,
that's my gig. What are you doing? Let's stay in your lane.
Yeah.
I mow the lawn and I mow it on Thursday.
Are we sure she did it?
Mm.
Maybe ignorance is bliss, but I would never think there's anything wrong. I would never think, am I sure she did it? What do you think the.
Hey, man, you don't mow another man's lawn, is all I'm saying.
I think those are words to live by. Yeah.
My wife did a Wednesday. I came home and to my surprise, my wife did a Wednesday mow. A Wednesday mow.
It sounds so great. Take it totally out of context. It's like, oh, totally. I didn't expect it. I came home and she did a Wednesday mow.
And trim.
Right.
Actually, it doesn't say she did the trim.
No?
Yeah, she usually does the mowing. He does the trimming, edging, and cleanup. But she mowed on Wednesday, so does he trim, edge, and clean up today?
If that's how it works in the relationship.
The trimming and all that stuff, that's more labor intensive. The mowing's the easy part. Mm.
I don't think this is an issue yet, sir, but perhaps check the security cams if you've got any.
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
you got a Ring camera.
King says be suspicious.
You're right. They might have some security cameras or rings or Nest or something like that. But he felt enough where he sent us a text, guys.
Is Wednesday too early though?
Yeah. Well, you know me and Doug.
Yeah.
Thursday mow guys.
I think Wednesday's too early. And by the way, with today,
Thursday mow's a movement. Let's be clear here.
But as the summer has gone on here, and we've gotten less and less rain, and the grass is growing at a much slower rate. I mean, you can skip a mow.
Well, we did because of we went up north. We were in the UP that week, and I got back and mowed Sunday. I was like, this has to be mowed. And I might mow again today just to keep in the routine and get it looking good for the weekend. But that's the theory, right? You enjoy the weekend. Mow on a Thursday.
Yeah, Friday after work, you don't have to worry about cutting the grass. You got all weekend to look at that nice manicured lawn.
It's a great theory, and it's a movement. The White Sox series ended it for me. I realized even if we did become the best of the worst and made the wild card, we didn't compete with the best teams in the league. They actually have competed with the best teams in the league this year.
They've struggled in the division.
Yeah. They've struggled mightily with Cleveland and the White Sox. But for a while there, they had a winning record against all the rest of the really, really good teams. I don't have the numbers in front of me.
I do. They're they're 13-22 in the division.
Okay.
They're 12-13 versus the East, 19-12 versus the West, and interleague they are 17-19. So it's just been against the Central Division. They've been horrible, and they're also not good against left-handed starters. 16-23.
I know I've got these. I had these numbers. I can't find the damn chart. But against the actual teams that are the best in baseball, they had a really good record against the Yankees, I think Texas. But I'd have to go back. I can't find the damn chart. Whatever. 248-539-9797. Interesting text that somebody really disagrees with something I said earlier. Gator, I know you love these. We'll get to that today at 11:46. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1. Okay, so earlier in the show, we were talking about, and we appreciate all your phone calls and feedback because we've had some Tiger discussion here. We'll get to the Lions coming up in a minute. But one of the things with the Tigers was if you could build a case for them making the playoffs, what would you build it around? Why do you think they can do it? What needs to happen? Obviously, win more games. Yeah, got it. Outscore the other team. Yeah, on a night-in, night-out basis. Yeah, but where are you? What are your hope resting on? And Gator and I have talked about some Hail Mary bullpen options is really the biggest thing. But you said you're in a weird place that if they fade and fall out of it, you've gotten more and more actually, you've started to show more and more interest in the MLB draft. And to piggyback off that, given the job that this organization appears to have done at identifying young talent, under Scott Harris, if you were to look at a strength of what our GM does, there's some help here now that he's responsible for, young talent, and there's help on the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Bryce Rainer, 5 home runs in 5 games. Josue Briseño did the same thing like 2 weeks ago and got called up a level. You know, there's appears to be help on the way. So you said, well, at least they'll get a higher draft pick. And you're having more fun with the MLB draft maybe than you've ever had in your life.
Yeah, I think I've certainly paid more attention to over the last few years than I ever did before.
But that, I mean, but it, you admit it, this is not something that makes you root against.
This is so far down the list. It's just one of those little silver linings that happen if this team doesn't make the playoffs.
I said, well, if they fade, and then maybe we'll get to see a Verlander start.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was, you know, again, just a little.
Yeah, it's not like the NFL season when your team is clearly not going to make the playoffs, and then you're like, okay, well, I don't want them to win any more games because you want to have the highest draft pick possible. Mm-hmm. Like that's just how we are. We're how we're wired when it comes to the NFL or frankly with any other sport that you know that your team is not going to get there, then be as bad as you can to ensure the best draft pick. But baseball, draft picks are such a crapshoot.
Yep.
It's just hard to predict.
But you're putting more interest in it than you've had in the past. And look, the Verlander thing to me was just like, that'd be a cool moment.
It would be.
Jared and Woodhaven sent in the following. There is nothing cool about Justin Verlander throwing for the Detroit Tigers this season. This guy is sitting back, collecting a paycheck while contributing nothing. It was a joke of a signing from the jump. Ship him out of here. A waste.
Well, a lot of that I would disagree with, but it's hard to say that it hasn't been wasteful spending at this point because he's only pitched in one game and it was the first week of the season or second, whatever it was. And that's been really unfortunate. I think everything else you're misguided. I think Justin Verlander is doing everything that he can to get back because he wants to pitch. He doesn't like ending his career like this. He announced his retirement, a month and a half ago at season's end? He does not want to go out by being a guy who can't help his team out the rest of the way, particularly a team that's this close to being a playoff team. If you don't think he has the competitive spirit, I don't know what to tell you. All right? Here's the problem. He's 43 years old. Your body doesn't heal as well as it does when you were 33 years old. So a hamstring issue or a groin issue is going to linger, and that's the unfortunate part of this, is it has lingered, and there hasn't been much of an update on it, and it sucks because I want to see him pitch. If you saw how he pitched at the end of last season, the second half of last season, he was really good. So he can help a team if he's healthy, but he's not. I mean, the whole ship him off stuff. Look, he's retiring at the end of the year, dude. Relax.
So, you know, everybody finds entertainment in whatever interests them. Our guy Jared in Woodhaven is mad and specifically mad about the Verlander signing. The Verlander signing was an emergency break glass signing. When they found out they weren't going to have Reese Olson for the year, they were kind of stuck. The season was close to starting. I don't remember the exact timing, but they had to get somebody in there, and they thought, let's give this a shot. Coming off the second half he had last year, he was willing to sign for what they were offering, which is, if I recall correctly, it's mostly deferred money. It's not even taking up that much money this year, but and there wasn't a lot of premium in this. This was, okay, let's give this a shot kind of move. Was there better free agents at the time available? I'd have to go back and look to see if they really missed, or they kind of backed in a corner and wanted a veteran that they thought could help them. And on top of that, you know, like you said, ship him out of here. What do you want to release him? What good is that going to do?
Ship him out mean?
Because he's not taking up a roster spot from anybody. He's a veteran presence in the room with a bunch of young players.
I'm trying to think back to the chronological order, what happened. I thought the Tigers had signed Drew Anderson first and he was going to compete for that fifth rotational spot. Then I thought they signed Framber Valdez, and we're like, oh, look at this. We got this guy to pair up with Scooble. That looks great. Then they got the news that Reese Olson was out, and then they immediately signed Justin Verlander. Mm-hmm. And that changed everything. Then Drew Anderson became, okay, you're going to the bullpen kind of thing. And unfortunately, hasn't worked out with Verlander. 2 weeks into the season, you know that he's not going to help you out probably for a while. And then it looked like almost, hey, he's ready to come back. And then, nope, not coming back. And now Drew Anderson is thrust back into a rotational spot again.
You know, Jared, you enjoy what you enjoy, but I guess I just don't see the world the same way. If they're out of it and he takes to the mound, I'm going to watch. And I'm going to be rooting for him.
Yeah, if they're out of it, absolutely.
From Chad in Elk Rapids, I'm going to be 100% honest with you guys. I gave up on them in May. I'm still listening to and watching games, but I have no faith. Job to get 3 outs would be filthy. He has the best repertoire on the team. Limited to 1 inning and 24 pitches. He could be nasty. That's from an unnamed texter. I gave up after the White Sox series. Do you guys think that maybe AJ Hinch has gotten the Tigers as far as he can get them, and maybe it's time for a new voice manager to take him into the future? It's from Tom in Detroit. Interesting question. I think that would be, and I don't mind you asking, I don't think AJ Hinch is a problem. And in fact, I think the idea of giving AJ Hinch a more complete baseball team sounds like a winning formula. And if AJ Hinch, just when they're about to, you know, maybe debut some guys who can bat, can play every day. McGonigal, Clark, you know, we'll see with Briseño and
Valencia,
and Rainier and Valencia, what he's going to be capable of.
Callahan's at the ground running.
There's some interesting stuff here. I would be more concerned if they don't take a step forward next year, depending on what they do in the offseason. Like, I'd love to see them either develop, trade for, or sign a better bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, if we can just skip the CBA part and just assume, let's just talk about having a normal offseason, if you could, then I think it's clear what they have to add in the offseason. It's bullpen help. And I mean, as far as AJ Hinch is concerned, I can't wait to say AJ Hinch work with this young team as even more younger players come through, and then you can add perhaps a free agent or two, certainly to the bullpen. But if you can add another bat, an experienced bat to this lineup that makes sense, and it's not just taking a chance on the guy who could be at the end of your lineup, like a Vierling guy or a McKinstry guy, and no slam against those guys, but I don't want that type of player. I want somebody who's potential to be an all-star added to this team, because it's time. This is where people get upset that the team doesn't go for it, or that perception's out there. This offseason is huge because there's so much upside with the younger players on this team right now that you want them to take that next step. But the next step, who knows what they're going to end up doing?
They had money budgeted that they were going to spend on Scooble, spend it on a bullpen. By the way, the caller that said the Tigers do terrible against the best teams, they have been terrible against the White Sox and terrible against Cleveland. 3-6 against the White Sox, 2-7 against Cleveland. Against the Yankees, they are 4-2. Against Texas, they are 4-2. Against Tampa, they are 3-0. Against Seattle, they are 4-2. These are some of the teams they're competing with that are either division leaders or in the wild card hunt.
Well, that's who they're competing with, but that doesn't mean those are the best teams. I mean, the Yankees is a good one because that's factually okay. The Yankees are actually a good baseball team. Mm-hmm. But people would say, well, yeah, but look who.
What about Tampa?
The Yankees didn't have. And Tampa is good. Yeah. But record wise, the rest of the teams in the American League are competing.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's some examples. The in division stuff is what's killed them. I mean, there's a whole bunch of little nuances that when you put their record together, you go, well, that doesn't help. Nor does that. God, if their bullpen were just average. 248-539-9797. Tigers need to change closers now. Running out of time. That's from caller Vic. And I think we've talked about that quite a bit, Vic. Yeah, I completely agree. What are the in-house options? The most obvious thing is somebody goes to the bullpen when Flaherty's back, and maybe it's Flaherty. I'd put Flaherty, and River Ryan may still debut this year, assuming he gets some ramp-up starts the minor league level. Maybe he goes to the bullpen, or maybe he starts and Job goes to the bullpen. I think Job at the back end of the bullpen would work. If you're asking me to fix the bullpen, that's what I'm doing. Am I doing it at the expense of the starters? Yeah, maybe. But they are running out of time, caller Vic, and I don't think they can continue to sit around waiting for guys to perform at a level they're accustomed to.
I'm too encouraged by Job as a starter to put him in a bullpen, but I understand the theory of doing it.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting about our Lions. Get to something today at 12:05. It's Carson Anderson on 97.1.